Written Reflections, episode 20, is now live. This one is special because I share my journey from San Francisco to Valencia, Spain, culminating in my victory at the Valencia Marathon. It's more than a race recap. I combine the thrill of running with the joy of international travel, offering real-time reflections on the preparation, the anticipation, and the realities of pushing through 42 kilometers. Along the way, I share racing insights and life lessons that go beyond the finish line. So listen in and let me know what resonates with you, whether it's the running, the travel, or the lessons learned. Welcome to Rittner Reflections, episode 20. This is Jeff Rittner, and I am coming to you today live from the San Francisco airport, where I am about ready to board a jetliner headed for Spain. And I am going to Spain, as I've mentioned in prior podcasts, so that I can run the Valencia Marathon. This is a trip that I've been planning since December. I signed up for the marathon in December and have been training, running, preparing for this race. Why am I running the Valencia Marathon, you may be asking yourself? Well, in 2023, I qualified for the Boston Marathon. Unfortunately, I didn't get into the race because my time was not fast enough. Although it qualified, it wasn't fast enough for the cutoff that the Boston Marathon planners have. They receive so many entrants who qualify, and they have to cap the number of entrants, and they do that by taking the fastest times, and there's a certain point where they cut it off, and if you didn't run even faster than your allotted time, then you are not invited to run. And so that's what happened to me. So this is a goal that I had, is to try again. And I chose the Valencia Marathon because it is supposed to be one of the fastest marathons. It is also one of the marathons that's, the course is flat. And it happens to be in December in Spain, where the weather is normally very nice, 60s, sunny. And so for those reasons, it seemed to me that this may be a race that would give me a chance to improve my time and this time make the cutoff and be able to run the Boston Marathon in April of 2027. So that's the goal. That's why I'm making this trip. But part of the trip also will be taking some time after the race for some rest and relaxation. I do plan to spend the first week in Spain, and then I will then go to Portugal and just enjoy, like I said, some downtime. Seems like I've been running for almost a year in preparation for this, and it will be nice to have some time to relax. This podcast is, or this episode of my podcast is going to be a bit different than what I normally do. I thought I would try something different. And this would be more of a chronology of my time on this trip. And I will try occasionally to check in and record and share some of my experiences, some of my reflections, things I'm seeing, learning, hearing. When you travel like this, it's amazing the experiences you obtain and the people you meet and so on. So I'm really looking forward to being able to share that with you as I go along this journey. So with that, this is just kind of a kickoff, a starter, since I am leaving today, and I will try to record again once I'm in Spain and keep the story going through the next 2 weeks. So we will be talking to you again soon. See you talk to you, I should say, from Europe soon. Thank you. Buenos dias. Today is the 4th of December, and I made it to Barcelona. I am currently sitting in a beautiful library lounge area in the Cotton House Hotel, I guess it's called, here in Barcelona. So It's very, very peaceful here this morning. And I did make it last night. I finally got into the hotel about midnight after a very long journey from San Francisco. You know, when you travel, things don't always go as expected. We boarded the plane in San Francisco, a beautiful Airbus plane. I was on the upper deck, beautiful seat, a comfortable seat. And unfortunately, there was a software issue. And so we sat in the plane for over an hour and a half before we took off. And that meant my connecting flight, I missed. And so the question in my mind was, how was I going to rearrange things so that I could get to Barcelona in time for my hotel check-in and so on. But fortunately, Lufthansa and the Star Alliance did a great job. When we landed, I had a message from Lufthansa telling me that they had realized that I'd missed my flight, and they booked me on a direct flight from Munich to Barcelona, and I would be arriving 5 minutes later than I would have on the other connecting flight. So very pleased that that worked out, and was able to get here to the hotel last night at midnight, pretty much on time as I expected. Interesting, those of you that have traveled, you I'm sure have experienced this, but when we left Munich, the airport there, they a lot of the planes are not connected to the gates via kind of a walkway. They are standalone out in on the tarmac, and so in order to get to the plane, you have to load onto a bus, and then the bus takes you to the plane. Well, it was really interesting because in the airport they had two lines. You know, one was a priority line, and the other was the lines 3 and 4 or 5. Fortunately, I was in the priority line, and so was able to board, very quickly. So got, tagged my boarding pass and went down about 5 flights of stairs with my suitcase, and lo and behold, I was supposed to get on a bus. So got on the bus and sat there for a good 15 minutes while the rest of those, boarding the plane, came down the stairs and got on the bus. The interesting thing I had to ask myself is, so what was the advantage of the priority boarding? Because now, being the first one on the bus, when we got to the plane, I was probably the last one off the bus, and thus getting on the plane, one of the last ones on. So you question what it was the purpose of the priority boarding. On the other hand, there may have been some method to the madness, because I noticed, those of us that were priority, boarding, who, were coming onto the plane later, when you got onto the plane, most people were already on, and so it was very easy to get to your seat, put your suitcase up, and so maybe there was a method to that madness, but it was just kind of humorous to me to think through that whole process. Anyway, that was my trip here to Barcelona yesterday. Today, this morning, I have already had my first cup of coffee. I am now getting ready to go out into town and explore this beautiful city. I have to tell you, coming in last night, there is a main boulevard that you come down, and it's got kind of in the middle of the boulevard, a walkway with, with trees that line that walkway. It's just beautiful. But what was really interesting is they've decorated the city for the holidays, and they have these beautiful lights that go across the boulevard. They're like, how to describe, they're like dripping down like from the wire down, these little long lights, and there's just dozens of them, and they go all the way down the street. It's just a beautiful way to enter into the city at night during this holiday season. So looking forward to this evening, getting out and seeing more of that. And I will be back at you again soon. And thanks again for listening. Hi there. Buenos dias. Today is December 5th, 2025, and I am in Valencia, the city of my destination for the Valencia Marathon race coming up on Sunday. Had a fantastic day today. It happens to be my birthday, and I was fortunate enough to take a beautiful train ride from Barcelona to Valencia, about 3 hours, and then navigate my way to the apartment that I am renting for the next several days, and get a bit, little flavor, a little feel of the city as I came in, and this evening as I walked around on my way to get dinner. I forgot to mention yesterday's recording that when I arrived at the Marriott back in Barcelona, I got there, boy, it was shortly after midnight due to the flight delays, and checked into my room. When I got up to my room, I was pleasantly surprised that there was a beautiful decorated birthday wish, a long rectangular plate with a nice chocolate cake with fruit around it and a candle on it. And in a little bucket next to it was a bottle of champagne with a nice balloon attached to it and a card that said, "From the Marriott, wishing you a very happy birthday during your stay here." So that was quite a surprise and quite nice to receive such love and attention from our friends at a Marriott. I will say, I also had another surprise on the train today. I was going through the process. I hadn't been on the train for a while, so it's quite an interesting process waiting, I guess I'd say, waiting for your the train, the actual track that the train will be on. Up till, I think it was 25 minutes before the train was going to leave, we finally knew which track to go line up for and submit our ticket and to get on the train. So anyway, I found my seat and sat down and met an interesting gentleman who sat next to me, who was a long time Microsoft employee. In fact, he told me that he started at Microsoft, I think, during the first year of its birth. I believe he said his employee number was in the hundreds. Anyway, he had retired 4 years ago and had worked on business development, spent a lot of time in Russia, China, around the world. So we had a wonderful opportunity to talk. But halfway through the trip, the train station, I don't know what you would call them, the woman that takes your ticket and comes down the aisle with a cart full of drinks and coffee and snacks. Anyway, she came directly to our seat and she handed the person next to me, his name was Dale, handed him a box and a card and said, "I want to wish you happy birthday." And he looked at her very quizzically and wasn't quite sure what that was for. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, "Oh, I think that's for me." And she goes, "Oh, you're not in that seat." Apparently, the two of us we were in the wrong seats. He was in my seat and I was in his seat anyway. Then she goes, "Oh, if it's your birthday, then this is for you. So happy birthday from the, it's RENFE, I don't know how you pronounce that, the train company here in Spain." And so they also offered me a birthday wish. So both of those were very nice surprises that I received these last few days. On the arrival into de Valencia, the sun finally came out because in Barcelona it was cloudy and windy and cold, but the sun was out and the city of Valencia is completely different than Barcelona. Barcelona is, very well structured streets with, as I said earlier, with trees that line the streets. And these are not just the main boulevards, these are all the streets. They basically have trees that line them. And most of the streets come to what we would often call in California a four-way stop. But it was interesting because most of these oftentimes were either four or in some cases they would be like a plaza, a five, kind of a five octagonal, pentagonal shape. And you'd have a building on five different sides and then you could take a road off of those. So the city is very well laid out. And the architecture in Barcelona is much more, I felt more European-like. Coming in here to Valencia, very little trees, more palm trees. We are close to the water. I guess Barcelona is as well. The buildings are colorful, yellows and beige and just a completely different style of building. More of what I would kind of describe as a Mediterranean style. So notice that right away. And made it to my apartment. And then, of course, normal duties when I arrive. I quickly try to find the nearest store so I can load up on water and other things. And then the search began for where do I have dinner tonight. And fortunately, I found a very nice Italian restaurant where I was able to purchase the standard pre-race carbo-load pasta and bread dinner. So that was my dinner tonight, part of the ritual of preparing your body for a 26.2 mile run on Sunday the 7th. So that was how I spent my evening. So anyway, I just want to give you an update on what I've done, where I've been. Tomorrow's a very exciting day for me because I will be going in the morning to what they call the Expo. The Expo is where you go to pick up your race bib. This is the number they assign you with a chip on it so they can record your time throughout the race and others can follow you. And you get all sorts of race paraphernalia, and it's a really good time to get all your questions answered so you know exactly what's going to happen. Because on the morning of the race, with 20-some thousand people converging at this one starting point, it can be crazy, chaotic, and it's just really good to know your bearings and know where things are at so that you can navigate all of that with ease. And that certainly is my plan. So with that in mind, I will sign off today, and hopefully next time I talk to you, we are almost on our way to run this great race. So thank you again. Good night. Just a reminder, you are listening to Written Reflections, episode 20. In this episode, I am doing something different. I am describing my thoughts, reflections, experiences on my trip to Spain and Portugal. First part of this trip is to run the Valencia Marathon. Today happens to be the Saturday, the eve of the race. It is known as, for me, it was known as Expo Day. This was the day I was to go to the Expo and collect my bib, which has the chip that will track me as I run. And just to get into the mood and the excitement of the upcoming race. The Expo was amazing, actually. The organization was superb. There were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people from all over the world, and I heard so many different languages being spoken. And what's unique is on the bib they issue you, and mine number, by the way, is 28133, and the highest numbers that they were giving out were in the 34,000. So that tells me there's probably over 34,000 people running this race. Anyway, on your bib, you have your number, you have your name, and you have a flag of the country that you are coming from. And so looking at their people in their bibs, you quickly tell where people are from. And that was kind of fascinating. From the Expo, I jumped into an Uber and went across the entire town to the other side where the start and the finish of the race will take place. And I have to tell you, it was just phenomenal, the way that this is being laid out. The start and the finish is at the same place. However, the start is on a overpass that leads you across a big park area and on into the city to start the race. The finish is below the overpass along this passageway, and it's actually in the middle of the Palais de l'Art, which is the art museum of here in Valencia. And there are a number of other buildings that are just fantastic, splendid in the way they're built. And the finish will come down a little hill and then just straight along this body of water on what's called the blue carpet. And it's a very long, I would say it's almost 500 meters of blue carpet that you run to the finish line. And and the view of these buildings and the water is just amazing. And so I am really looking forward to getting to that point. And although it won't be easy getting to that point, I am looking forward to that. And see at what time I can actually cross that finish line on that blue carpet. Anyway, today was a really fun day, just really getting in the mood for this race. It is now Saturday evening, time to kind of wind down, and up early in the morning, and we're ready to go. So talk to you again soon. Thanks. Well, the long-awaited, anticipated race is finally over. And I am really happy to share with you that I navigated the 42 kilometers through the entire city of Valencia, and I crossed the finish line, thus becoming a Valencia 2025 marathon finisher. So happy to be able to complete that race. Unfortunately, I am not a 2025 Valencia Marathon Boston qualifier. I was not able to achieve the goal that I had set for myself to run the race under 4 hours, thus not only qualifying for the Boston Marathon, but being invited to run it because I had had enough time to be invited. The race was just phenomenal. A beautiful day. It was actually started off just slightly cool in the morning, and as the race proceeded, the temperature rose up to 75 degrees, which for me is very, very warm. I am normally used to running when I train in the mornings, and that's usually anywhere in the 50s, sometimes even the 40s. So it was a bit warm, but it was just a beautiful day, not a cloud in the sky. The number of runners were staggering. I mean, I think it was over 35,000 runners. And most of the runners were fast. I met a couple of gentlemen before dinner, and they are super fast runners. And they told me that they were really surprised. They got their own personal best, but there were still 1,000 people in front of them that ran faster, and just they were very surprised at it. So it's just very, very fast course, and runners took advantage of that. For me, I really did not have my best day. I don't know. There's a number of factors that contributed to that. And I'm still kind of digesting it all, dissecting it in my mind, trying to understand what happened, you know, why I was not able to run at the pace that I had planned, and how come it was such a struggle for me. And I have a number of reasons already going in my mind. And with that, as always, after a race, I take time to think through what did I learn? What are some of the key lessons and things that that I can take away from the experience and improve upon as I continue on? So I will, in my next recording, maybe tomorrow, I will try to, after I've given it some more thought, try to come out with some lessons, some reactions, some thoughts, and some things that maybe might be useful and helpful for all of us as we, you know, navigate the long course, the long race of life. And anyway, I just wanted to check in and let you know that I did finish. Super happy about that. And unfortunately, I did not achieve the goals that I had set out. And you know, had kind of a difficult time getting to that finish line and across it. Anyway, I will have more to share with you as we go along this trip. And thank you again for tuning in. Bye-bye. Hello again. It has been a little over 24 hours since I finished running the Valencia Marathon. And I've had some time now to rest a little, to recover, to really reflect on my race experience and just some of the lessons learned, the takeaways from the experience that I'd share with you here in this final part of episode 20 of Written Reflections. I thought maybe I'd start by just describing for those of you that have never ran a marathon, just a little bit of the feeling, the way it sort of just kind of works. You know, most races start fairly early in the morning. This one was around 9 a.m., so I didn't have to get up too early, but there is a race routine where you've have everything set out the night before, what you're going to wear, make sure you get your fuel, the gel packs loaded up in your belt, make sure you've eaten a little bit, not too much, make sure you've put on your sunscreen if it's a sunny day, and just, you know, all the things you would want to make sure you've thought through as you leave your apartment on your way to the start line.
One of the other important parts of the preparation is to make sure you have your bib with you. And the way the bib works is that you are given at the expo some safety pins, and you basically use those safety pins on the four corners of the bib to connect it to your shirt. Some people will put it on their shorts. I usually put mine on the front on my shirt. And I want to tell you a story before we go on of what happened to me on this in this situation. The coming home from the expo, I had the safety pins in the bag they gave us. And somehow the bag, I must have set it down on something, but somehow the corner of the bag got wet and it started to break. And I realized this is going to fall apart if I carry on walking. And I had another bag where I had purchased something. So I took everything out of the bag they gave us and put it in that bag. And then quickly saw a garbage can and went and threw the original bag away. Well, unfortunately, I must have thrown away the safety pins. So the night before the race, or maybe it was the afternoon before, I was getting all my stuff together and I realized I didn't have any safety pins. And shock came upon me. I thought, how am I going to attach the bib to my shirt? I have no pins. And I'm in an apartment that's got very, very little in it, like that. And I panicked. I'm like, oh my gosh, where do you get pins? I mean, I can't go back to the expo. It's 40 miles away. It's almost closed. At the start line, they're not, I mean, I don't know where you would find pins. And so I began to freak out. What am I going to do? I have no pins. And so I thought, well, it's still early enough. Let me go out into the town and maybe there's some shops. And so I found a couple of shops that, kind of boutique shops, whether they were clothing or, you know, various items. And I would go in my, try in my, some Spanish I speak, but I had to go pull up a picture of a safety pin because I had no idea how you call a safety pin in Spanish and show people. And they were like, oh no, you go down to the shop. I think so-and-so down a couple of shops that they would have something. Okay. Well, I went to at least five or six shops and I got the same answer. And finally, this one shop said to go around the corner and you'll find a shop that for sure will have it. So I went to that shop and oh my gosh, it was one of these shops. It was run by these two women that are clearly from China because they were speaking to each other in Chinese. And I know Chinese enough to know that was China. And the store was kind of a craft store, I guess you would say. I mean, they had every craft tool, every item that you could ever imagine. And I showed the picture of the safety pin and they said, oh yeah, go in the back. So I went in the back, couldn't find it, asked them to come over, and there was safety pins. I couldn't believe my eyes. There's a packet of safety pins. And so I purchased those safety pins and brought those home and was able to attach the bib to my shirt. And like most races, you know, when you step out into the city and you start moving towards the start line, wherever that might be, there's always, it's early in the morning and there's always just runners all in the same sort of mindset. You know, they're all kind of walking quickly, trying to figure out where to go to get on the metro, for example, or to get on a bus or to go down the right streets. And you can just, it doesn't take long before you realize, oh, those people are all going where I want to go. And you just get in line and follow. And there's this sort of nervous excitement as everybody walks forward and gets in that metro and gets to the right spot. I have to say this race was very well organized, and they had a different blocks of space on a boulevard that was blocked off based on the time that you were anticipated to run the race. And so you had to go find your block and get in there and wait, basically. And then there's the, as you wait, there's the nervous, you know, there's the wanting to use the porta potties. So that means there's huge lines. So you got to manage that, make sure you get in the line in time and get out in time. So all of that for me went really well. I mean, it was extremely well organized. There was just, it wasn't too cold. There was a coolness in the air, and it was just this anticipation of we're going to get started. Then as you go towards that start line, they did a nice job of very, very loud music of just setting the tone, and a lot of Spanish songs that I didn't know, but the excitement that it created, and the just the enthusiasm and the cheering, and to get going. And when your wave begins to move towards the start line, you know you're on your way. And so we got to the start line, and we had to wait till our moment, and then boom, it was time to go. Now, I was hoping I could find a pacer. Now, a pacer is an individual with a long stick and a sign that will indicate the end time that this person is going to pace the run for. And I wanted to find the pacer for my time and kind of stay close to that person so that I had a sense I was in the right range time-wise. And this race is in kilometers and not miles, which I'm not used to. And so just not having those markers I'm used to, I wanted to make sure I was close to that pacer. Well, the pacer, for whatever reason, when we started the race, the pacer took off. I kept up, but it didn't take but a couple of kilometers, and I started to realize two things. One, the pacer was moving faster than I would normally start. When I run in my training, I always go the first several miles rather slowly, slower than I would the average that I would want to finish my run. And in this particular case, we seemed to be going a bit fast. And there was a crowd of people that were all kind of staying close to this person. And it just was a little bit frustrating because you were in this crowd. And so I quickly thought, I need to get ahead of this bunch. And if I get ahead, then at least I'll be a bit ahead of my pacer time, and that'll be good for me. So I got a little bit ahead. But for some reason, maybe feeling I was being chased by the pacer, I don't know, I just took off and ran fast, and way faster than I should have and would normally have run. And so looking back at my our kilometer pacing or mile pacing, I realized those first 10 miles, I went way too fast. Probably almost a minute per mile faster than I should have gone. And I believe that may have been probably one of the biggest contributions to my, you know, not achieving my goals and running the race much, much slower than I had thought I would. So anyway, just to describe, that's kind of how the whole thing started. You know, as you're at that, as you're at that starting line, the emotions that you go through, you quickly in your mind go back to, you know, that the weeks that you spent training and running and all of that discipline it took to get those runs in, and you think about that. And you, for me, I thought about my year, you know, since I started this journey, and just all the hard things difficult things that I experienced, you know, late last year, you know, only been a year now, losing my job of, you know, 34 years at a company, you know, this summer, or that late this summer, early this fall, you know, losing my mother as she passed away, and just, you know, some of the hardships that I've gone through, it just really all comes back to you, and you get fairly emotional and just like, my gosh, this is all coming to this point. So I remember having those emotions as we got started. Anyway, as I ran the race, just to kind of fill you in, you know, I began to realize that I was getting more tired and more tired. And I think one of the moments where I realized that maybe I was not going to make it to my goal was when maybe halfway through the race, the pacer caught up to me and passed me. And I'm in my mind thinking, I can't keep up with him now, as I'm feeling. And that sense in your mind that, oh my, I'm not gonna make it. I've gotta be able to make it. And so you push a little bit more. And it didn't take long that I realized I was completely out of gas already. I don't even think I got to 16, 17 miles, and I realized I'm out of gas already. And for lots of different reasons, it was warm. I'm not used to running in the warmth. I mean, 75 degrees probably doesn't seem very warm to you, but when you're running and you've been used to training in 50s and 60s, it's a difference. It makes a difference. So all that to say that as I continue to run, I continue to realize that this was not going as I wanted. In fact, if you go back and you look at mile by mile my pace, you know, you can just see like letting air out of a balloon. You can just begin to see my times get longer and longer and longer. And in fact, there were moments when I clearly needed to stop and walk just to kind of get my sense back. I stopped multiple times and walked. And then it got to a point with the last maybe 6 miles or so, it got to the point where I realized, I want to finish this race. I need to finish this race. I don't know if I can, but I'm going to give it my best. And I just, with all of the pain in the legs and the fatigue, I just continued to go. And every kilometer would not come quick enough. And then when it came, I'm like, oh my gosh, we got this many more to go. And I'd continued in that way until I got to the blue carpet that I spoke about earlier. And I couldn't wait to get to that blue carpet. But even the blue carpet, the 500 meters that it took to get from the beginning of the blue carpet to the finish line was a struggle. And in fact, as I approached the finish line, there were medical people standing on the side, you know, watching for people that may be struggling. And one of them caught my eye and asked me, are you doing okay? Are you all right? And all I could think of is, I'm getting to the finish line, I'm fine. And I just kept going. And then I eventually crossed that finish line. And from there, that's when the hardship really took place, because I, you know, as you finish, you're relieved that it's over and that you made it. You're, in your mind, you're highly disappointed that you didn't cross that finish line the way you wanted to. And your body is just screaming. And my problem was, I just felt incredibly dizzy and faint, and it was hard to get my breath, and just felt horrible. And so I sat there, and another medical person came and said, just keep walking. If you just keep walking, which I did, but I could hardly do. And eventually I just had to sit there for a while, and the fatigue and the dizziness wouldn't go away. So as I finally got up enough energy to leave the area and, you know, to walk out where they actually give you water, and then they give you your medal, and then they give you, you know, some things to hydrate yourself and eat. Another medical person came to me and said, are you okay? And I said, no, I'm feeling kind of faint. And they said, okay, hold on to me. And they put their arm around me, put around them. And then they just kept walking. You just need to keep walking. We need to get some fuel on you. So I got a banana, started to eat the banana. And this person took me, said, let's go over to the medical tent where you can sit down here and rest. So I made it to the medical tent and discovered through a series of questioning and so on that, and some testing of, they do a little blood prick to check your blood sugar level, glucose levels, and mine were extremely low. So I had to sit there for probably a good 20 minutes, 30 minutes, just eating a banana, eating a power bar, and eventually and drinking electrolyte fluids. And eventually I could tell I began to feel better, and was able to get up and actually leave and make the long journey back to my apartment. Now, in post-race tradition or ritual for me is, I normally like to, in the evening, go find a place to have a nice steak dinner. You know, having eaten carbohydrates for several days, primarily carbohydrates for several days prior to the race, and then, you know, just the race itself, I usually like to just go and get myself a nice steak dinner. And so I did. I eventually found a place, Argentinian steak place, and I did have a great dinner. But it was a bit sad or hard, because I realized, as I sat there on my own eating that steak dinner, I realized of all the marathons that I've run, I've always done so with either a friend or with family members. And as I thought back through all those marathons, I realized this is the first time I finished a race and I'm having my post-race celebration with myself. This is where you realize the value and of having family and friends with you, supporting you, cheering you on, being there to sit with you afterwards. And so I so appreciate all my friends and family that have stayed close to me over all the different races I've done, and came to really appreciate that as I sat there that evening. Let me just describe for you the ambiance in Valencia the evening of the race. It was a holiday weekend here in Valencia. They celebrate the holiday on Friday, I think it was. No, I'm sorry. It was Saturday was a holiday, and then we had Sunday with the race, and then Monday's a holiday. So it's a long holiday weekend for those here in Valencia. And so there were many, many people out on the streets. Of course, there were the 35,000 runners, and every, runner, probably most runners have somebody with them, family. I mean, you can imagine the number of people that descended on this city over this weekend. Well, that evening after the race, it was just electric. The excitement in the air and the people celebrating their victories in running the race. People just out enjoying the holiday in the city and the Christmas decorations and the trees that are lit up. And every street seems to have some sort of a light fixture over the from one side of the street to the other, with beautiful colors, and just a beautiful city and a beautiful evening to really celebrate a great day. And what you'll find is it's very traditional. Once you finish the race and you get that medal, is most people will put that medal on and then they'll wear it that evening. And so as you walk around town, you can tell who were the individuals that actually ran the race. And most people are excited to greet you with a congratulations or a salutation or whatever the word is. But there is just that sense and that awe that these people have actually just ran those 42,000 meters around the city. And so that kind of makes it really fun. I did have a chance to talk with a few people. One person I spoke with was just elated because they had achieved their personal best or their personal record, and they just were so excited to have done that. I met another couple from Denmark, and we got talking. They had their medals on, and we got talking, and they had a very similar experience that I had. Their response to me was, "Well, it didn't go very well. We had a really hard time with the heat, and we didn't achieve the goals that we had wanted." And I said, "Well, I can relate with you. That's exactly was my experience as well." And so you get all sorts of experiences, reactions to the day and to the race. And so it just makes kind of a fun vibe. And then today, I noticed again at people outside walking around, going to get breakfast, coffee, whatever, many are wearing their medals. And so you can always tell the runners. Now, there's another way you can tell the runners. And this is really quite humorous for me because I experience it myself, is that it's hard to get up from your chair. It's hard to walk across the room. And you can tell, even as someone who does not have the medal around their neck, you can tell they ran the marathon by the way they get up, by the way they walk, by the way they move. They ran the marathon. And so that's a telltale sign of a marathon runner after the long race. So that was basically my experience, with the Valencia Marathon. Now, for this episode 20 of Written Reflections, I wanted to do something different, something that, described my experience in leading up to this big race and running the race, and then, of course, my post-race reflections. And so I'm going to title this episode Victory in Valencia. And although it was not the sort of victory I was anticipating, it was a victory nonetheless. To be able to run throughout a city for 26.2 miles or 42.2 kilometers is an amazing feat, and something that I'm very thankful that I can do. And the best part of it all is that through the training and through the actual race itself, it's a wonderful way to stay in shape. It's a wonderful way to keep your body healthy. For me, to keep my mind healthy and to have the right perspective on life and on the way things work out. And so for me, it's a victory to be able to actually run a marathon and to finish the marathon. And for this one, the 11th time. So I call it Victory in Valencia. Now, I'd like to finish this episode by just giving you a bit of my post-race reflections and then maybe some lessons that I take away from the experience. So the first thing I will just say is that, you know, from a running perspective, and those of you who are runners will appreciate these thoughts. Those of you that are not runners, just hold on. We'll get to more broader reflections and lessons. But for those who are runners, there's something that I learned, and I've learned this many times. It's something that I preach. I tell many other runners that I run with this lesson, and for some reason, I just failed to follow it for this race, and that is pacing. The whole secret to running a great marathon is having proper pacing. And in this race, I went out too fast. I knew better, but I went out too fast. And for those of you who are runners, just keep that in mind, that it's a long, long run. And having the right pacing where you make sure that you have enough energy to get across that finish line in the time you desire is so, so important. Two, proper preparation. I felt like I had prepared for this race really well. In fact, I had no injuries. I felt like I had, you know, eaten properly. I had one thing I was not able to do was rest. And this is a little bit of the jet lag situation coming to Europe. Would I do it again? Absolutely. I think one of the lessons I might take from this preparation is, perhaps this time I came with, you know, a few days early because I wanted to make sure I had 3 or 4 days to get acclimated to the time. And I realized now that maybe that's not the best strategy. It might be more appropriate to have flown out on Friday, arrive on Saturday, pick up my bib, get a bad night of sleep, which you do anyway, and then go run. Possibly could have been a better strategy. But anyway, that's a lesson, is trying to make sure that, you know, you prepare, you know, it's so that you can finish well. And last, I'll just say to you, those of you who are runners, it's just so important to have the right perspective. You know, it's not about necessarily, you know, getting the best time ever, even though that's really what everybody wants to do. But it's really about learning how to deal with all the emotions. And one of the emotions is disappointment. Sometimes we don't achieve the goals and we're disappointed and having to really address that. And so I think that's an important lesson, is to have the right perspective, to realize that being a finisher is just as important as, you know, achieving that super time you wanted. Okay, so that's some very specific things for runners. But let me just share a couple of other reflections just that are more broader for any of us. And that is, I'll go back to the same sort of point about disappointment. I think in life there are so many situations that disappoint us, whether it's situations, whether it's people, whether it's ourselves. And being able to recover and recruit from a disappointing situation is so important. And, you know, it's very easy to find yourself
spiraling out of control, and that disappointment overwhelms, and it really, restricts you from doing the things you want. It can linger with you for a long time. And I think it's so important just to recognize disappointment is part of life. And when we're disappointed, we have to learn how to have the right perspective about it. And I think one of the things that helps me is and think about what can you learn from the situation so that the next time it goes better. Or to think about, what positives come out of the situation that you just experienced, because there's always positives, there's always good things that come as a result, I think, of our disappointments. So that's one. Two, I would say not giving up. For me in this race, I was just overwhelmed with a sense of wanting to give up. Not knowing that I would not achieve my goal, I wanted to stop. Knowing that I was in a lot of pain and struggling, I wanted to stop. Knowing that I still had another 10 miles to go, I wanted to stop. And everything about it screamed at me, stop. This is not fun, stop. But on the other hand, there was a voice that said, no, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep going. And I'm going to finish this race. And having that mindset that does not give up, that stays firm and true to the goal. And that's what got me over the finish line. I knew even with several kilometers left, and I was just so wanting to stop, that I had to keep going to cross that line. And so having your mindset on a goal and not giving up is so important. And finally, I'll just say it's also important afterwards to get back in the ring, to get back up and to go forward. And I think for me, I'm not sure what that go forward is from a running perspective, but I do plan to run more. I do have a number of races on my list, and I'm still going to go for those. But it's so important when you do have a setback or a disappointment, a failure, whatever you want to call it, it's so important to not let that define you, but rather to get back up and to recalibrate, reset your sights on a goal and move forward. And that's exactly what I intend to do. And I would encourage all of you in your life situations to do the same. So with that, that is Victory in Valencia. What an awesome trip. What an awesome experience. So thankful and glad that I was able to do this, and looking forward to my next race. Speaking of looking forward, I am going to continue this trip. I'm leaving tomorrow for Portugal, and I will spend a handful of days in Lisbon and a handful of days in Porto, and then I will be back to the States. And during that time, I do plan to continue to record, and perhaps based on how that goes, I may use that to publish my next episode, 21. But I will let you know. And again, I would like to thank you for taking the time to listen to this. And I hope it was enjoyable. And we will be talking with you again soon. Thank you very much. This has been Written Reflections. Bye-bye.